I walked in the other room. I left it right here.
You ready, Legislator Rodriguez?
I'm always ready for you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. I'm going to call this meeting to order. If I could get an approval for the minutes from November 13th.
So moved.
Second.
Very ambitious.
All in favor?
Aye.
I'd like to recognize a couple of legislators here and one that's not here, Pete Loren, Carl Befiglio, and Rich Parody. I want to thank you guys for your participation and everything you guys did for us, the committee this year. I do want to recognize you. And I did forget my glasses today. So, Carl, if you don't mind chairing this committee while I sit back and relax.
Be an honor. Thank you.
I'll keep the gavel in case you get out of line.
By the way, we're going to let him know. I'm going to take the late resolutions out of order.
Yeah, he wants a copy.
Hold on.
First.
We're sending over the minutes. Approved. Okay. Yes, we have a late resolution. Make a motion to take resolution 524 out of order as the courtesy of our public defender, who is here to answer any questions about it. It is a late resolution requesting pass-through money, authorizing the county executive to execute an agreement with Dutchess County for the provision of reciprocal conflict defense, public defender's office. Anybody like to move it?
I'll move it.
And I'll second it. And I also want to thank our public defender, Andy Kotzover, for his work on this in the past. This is something that really does save the county a significant amount of money. And it was his idea many years ago to establish this. And I'm glad that we're getting a few bucks to do it at the same time. So.
I have a question.
Of course.
So, in the little matrix here.
I'll
show
it.
Hold on, Mr. Belfast.
Okay.
We're going to get it for you. You have a matrix here? What page is it on?
It's a second page. It's like a mini spreadsheet. All right, so legal aid, annual salary, $22,400. Annual benefits, $13,406. Total salary and benefits, $35,806. But we're only getting $29,839 in pass-through money. So where's the rest of the money coming from?
Us.
Well, but it should state that. It doesn't state that.
Actually, I believe... I'm surprised they didn't give the full amount because it's my understanding we have grants from the state of New York, the Office of Energy and Legal Services, and it's a reimbursed grant. I think whatever we found out, we will have sufficient funds to fully reimburse the county on that.
So this grant might be to just fulfill the total salary of $35,806 with $29,839.
Yeah, but
getting the entire amount.
And as a point of reference, even if we paid for this entirely on our own, we would be saving money because what happens is the judge has to appoint people on each case. If there's somebody comes in and Peter, I, and you, Rob Storr, well, each one of us have a representative, the public defender, and what would happen is the public defender's office then ends up being in conflict because they're going to represent Peter. So now I need a representative and so do you. So as a result, they have to bring in other people. And this causes a great deal of problems, and this is part of the problem, part of a way of solving some of that problem and saving the county a certain amount of money. So,
right. Otherwise, to supplement what Mr. Donaldson said, is that otherwise the court assigns private lawyers as assigned counsel, and they bill hourly. So that's why it costs more money. So not to say that when you have staff attorneys doing this work, they cover more than their fair share, but it also guarantees the quality of representation, which as public defender, I'm concerned about, of course. So it not only saves money, but you have somebody who's doing nothing but this kind of work. So it improves the quality of representation while saving money.
Yeah, my remarks have nothing to do with the quality of service or the need of the service. It's just there's just a hanging $5,967 that it should be accountable for. I mean, look, when this goes through Ways and Means, what are we gonna say? I know what they're gonna say. Where's the other $5,976 coming from?
Comes from us. It comes from contingency or whatever, or if it comes from a grant, comes from a grant. But it's something that is.
No, it says financial impact $29,839 budgeted county appropriations, $29,839 budgeted state revenue dollars. That's the financial impact. So that's it. There's no that $5,967 must already be coming out of your budget somehow, because that's this resolution. I mean, there's no other way to look at it. I'll vote for it. I'll be a yes on this, but there's got to be an answer as to why we don't have the numbers don't jive.
Right, you already got. And it says, I understand your point, Carl.
Yes.
I mean, we'll ask the question, but I wouldn't have a problem with there being a county cost to this, because we're going to save so much money by not going out for 18B council.
And I agree with you. What I'm saying is that it should reflect that on the resolution.
Okay.
That's all.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's against it. It's just that it should reflect where the money is all coming from.
I mean, maybe it's a typo. Maybe this is a typo.
It's county money budgeted.
That's almost what I'm thinking. Like, I don't know how they arrived at that number quite, but okay. Because the grant funds are sufficient to cover this. So, I will get on that, and perhaps between now and Ways and Means, I can have some additional information.
I think we wouldn't be in such a rush on this if Dutchess County hadn't
Dutchess County held on
been
to the
derelict until right. the last minute to get us the contract.
Right. Sure.
That's the reason it's late.
All right, Mr. Chair, it's been moved and seconded.
Mr. Chair?
And that
you,
one.
You.
Acting
Carl?
No, Carl. Carl, you're
acting chair.
Carl, it's your meeting.
Okay, we'll call the vote.
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. There you go.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Have a good holiday.
Thank you, Andy.
Have an okay holiday.
Okay. Resolution 320, adopting proposed local law number 15 of 2016, a local law amending Ulster County Charter C101A and the Ulster County Administrative Code Section A30-2A to amend the powers and duties of the Ulster County Human Rights Commission. Legislator Rodriguez.
All right. So, given that the reason why this meeting was slightly
delayed. Do you
want
to move it for discussion first, or?
Actually, I'm getting to that, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
So, considering I am the sponsor of both 320 and 321, this meeting was delayed because of the Human Rights Task Force, which has recently, and by recent, I mean this past meeting that just occurred. Come to a compromise to establish a Ulster County human rights law, which will be for 2018. At this time, I am willing to withdraw resolutions 320 and 321.
You don't need a vote if you're the sponsor. You can withdraw.
I know. That's why. Okay. I want to make sure you guys.
Do you have a question, Pete?
No, I'm good.
Thanks.
There we go. All right. Moving on. Resolution 456, adopting proposed local law number 10 of 2017, the law amending local law number 7 of 2008, a law to provide for an exemption of real property taxes from the real property owned by veterans who rendered military service to the United States during the Cold War.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
Any discussion? I think it's a slam dunk, no-brainer. I know my brother personally takes a advantage of this himself. He was a veteran, Cold War veteran.
Just for those in the gallery, this would allow us to make permanent an exemption that we used to have to renew every 10 years.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Nice. Okay, Resolution 457, calling the organizational meeting of 2018.
I'll move it.
No discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And moving along, last resolution. This is also a late resolution, Resolution 523, authorizing the chairman of the Ocean County Legislature to execute a contract with the New York State Department of Criminal Justice to accept grant funds for Detective Division overtime reimbursement. Legislator Donaldson, would you repeat what I just said?
No.
Okay. Anybody want to move it?
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
Right. Any discussion?
So,
Legislator Rodriguez.
Thank you. So what was the reason for this being late?
The sheriff's office was doing a, like a reconciliation of their grants from throughout the year, and it was realized that through an administrative error, this grant, there was never a resolution submitted to accept the money from this grant. And since the grant funds would cease to exist at the end of the year, or we'd cease to be able to accept them, the sheriff put in a late resolution for it. And because
clearly it's state revenue dollars, but I will repeat my oft phrase where it's all taxpayer dollars at the end of the day. I don't think anybody's going to go right now and cause a stir over $3,119. But, when we start talking about the sheriff's department, we have issues. Mr. Chair, it's been moved and seconded?
Yes, it has.
I'm a little confused on what the issues are.
Hector's issue? Yeah. Or the issue at hand?
The issue that he's talking about, we have issues because they put in a late resolution because it was a mess up and
put a resolution in. It's about overtime reimbursement. So meaning I'm just saying that we've had overtime over at the jail, we've had overtime apparently for this division, and on top of that we've had other larger issues with the sheriff's department. I say clearly no one's going to vote down $3,119, right? It's $3,119. So it's fine. We'll all move ahead. But going into next year, clearly on law enforcement, we'll be taking a look at this.
Well, I mean, I don't, Mr. Chairman, yes. I don't know that I necessarily agree with lumping all overtime into, especially overtime at the jail. This is specifically in the detective division for the New York State Homeland Security and Emergency Services counterterrorism red team exercise that we participate in. And that's why we're getting reimbursed with the grant money, not because we had too much overtime and they're just giving us money. It's from a specific exercise, with a multi-jurisdictional team. Okay.
When we started getting into overall,
I felt like that needed to be said for the record.
Okay. All right. That's fine.
And I agree with you. Sometimes there's mountains over molehills.
And overtime issues. I mean, this is separate because it's something they participate in. But normal overtime issues are handled in their contract, not by the legislature. Per se, we vote on their contract, but once the contract is voted on, you can't have overtime. Or you
and
can't
we approve the line items. And we approve.
No.
We approve the amount.
Right?
No, we
I
do.
I understand that. Overtime is overtime, I guess. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Oh, everybody signed it in anticipation. Any new business to come before the committee? Before the end of the year? Yes, Chairman Moore.
I just want to say that the task force, I mean, we still have to, there's a couple of minor changes that need to be put into the new human rights law that's going to come forward next month, or next year, I should say. Probably in February is my guess. But the task force met and voted to approve it, pending the couple of changes. It sort of creates a new mediation setting for our human rights commissioners. And then following an unsuccessful mediation, a complainant will have two choices. They'll either grieve to the state human rights division like they do right now, or they'll grieve to a local administrative hearing officer, which has the ability to right now the fines I still think the damages are a little bit high, but it's a discussion that we can have as a policy matter in the body.
And Mr. Cherubin, if I just may add, the greatest thing from this, from my opinion at least, especially participating just today, but the fact that we are attempting to sort of thread the needle between a 12D commission as well as a police powers, I can't say commission, it's a police powers hearing officer, and that gets back to local control and local definitions. Local definitions that enshrine protections for those who are transgendered and gender identity. So that's another huge component of this that I just didn't want to get lost in our discussion.
Well, what are the proposed fines? What's the monetary?
It's not to exceed $25,000. So the idea would be we very narrowly determined the administrative hearing officer will be at the very least an attorney licensed to practice law in New York State for more than 5 years, with a preference given to a retired Supreme Court judge. And we have a few retired Supreme Court judges, but, you know, Judge Peters is retiring at the end of the year, Judge Work, Judge Kavanaugh, who might want to make, you know, some extra money as an administrative hearing officer. So, you know, when once the law is passed, I believe that there's some folks that are going to approach these judges about doing some of this work.
That fine, though, seems exceptionally high.
It really does, yeah. But...
What's the state?
$25,000 is a lot.
Do you know what the state's maximum?
You're here to educate.
The state has no maximum.
Oh.
The state has an unlimited amount plus attorney's fees. We don't allow a complainant to collect attorney's fees. Sorry?
We're adding a personnel line?
No.
For the judge?
No, it'd be on a contract basis. So we're not adding a personnel line or benefits or anything of that nature.
And the fines, will they be used to fund the?
They are not fines. They are damages. The damages go to the aggrieved.
Oh, go. That's right. Yeah. Yes.
I mean,
that's
okay. Very deliberate. I'd like to see you use the sliding scale, but that's
I know. Guys. The issue that came up about the sliding scale, Pete, is that, you know, like first offense, second offense, or amount of employees or things of that nature. Don't take into account the severity of the offense. So, you know, you may do something really terrible on a first offense and you only get fined, or you only get, you know, damages assessed at $500, but you could do something relatively minuscule the third time and get $5,000, you know, or whatever the sliding scale is going to be. What a not to exceed allows is for the administrative hearing officer, and that's why it was so important to me that it be somebody who's experienced in the rules of procedure and things of that nature. You know, it allows the severity of the offense and other factors to weigh into the level of damages awarded. Where a sliding scale with a set amount doesn't necessarily allow that.
Yeah, but you could change that, the number of offenses. If you do it twice, it triples or whatever.
Right, but I'm saying the second offense might not be as egregious as the first offense, but just because it's a second offense,
But if you say $25,000, that's a big range. Somebody comes in one day and he says, you know, he or she's not in a good mood. Well, I'm going to give you a $15,000 fine. They can do that.
You got to have the trust that they're not going to do that, because that's what they can do with the state division too. I mean,
yeah. Well, okay.
I understand.
I won't be here, so.
I still think that the not to exceed should be lower, and that's a discussion that we'll have as a policy.
Who knows?
A matter in the next legislature.
It might be postponed until 2020. You don't know.
Will you allow a question for point of information? So how does this compare with the fines if the person would choose the option A and go to the state?
The state does not have a cap on damages, or, you know, and the state can impose punitive damages, pain and suffering, things of that nature, as well as attorney's fees.
You still do an Article 78.
But that's where it's going to depend on the case. If someone's got a severe case, they're probably not going to utilize this process. They're going to go to the state division because it's a class action, larger, you know. This is basically, and I believe Mr. Clegg is the one who offered up the $25,000, and the reason being, you know, no lawyer is going to take a case if it's under $25,000
to the state division.
You know, to the state division. So, you know, which sort of makes sense. We're talking about, in essence, almost as if it's like a small claims matter practically in these particular cases. So,
but again, that's why I had used the number $5,000 because using the small claims argument, the most money you can bring in a small claims court in a town is $5,000, and the most that you can bring in the city court is $10,000.
All right.
That having been said, like I say, we've got new legislators coming on. I'm sure that we'll have some discussion about this starting in February on the level of fines and other things in the law. But again, I was just impressed with the collaborative process, bringing together a representative from the NAACP, from the LGBTQ community, two human rights commissioners. I think that we took an issue and made an Ulster County sized fix, and I like that. So,
all right, old business. Anybody has old business? All right, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Adjourned.
Thank you.